Lord, we come for an encounter with you this morning, Lord. Thank you for your presence here today, God. Thank you, Lord, that you're here to minister to us. Thank you that your Holy Spirit broods over us, teaches us, leads us. We praise you, Holy Spirit. You are so welcome in this house. Come and change us, make us more like Jesus. Help us to not focus on self, but on you. As we always say, Holy Spirit, we surrender the agenda. This is your house. You're the dad of this house. And we love you so much. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Father. We bless you today. Lord, I pray, God, as we go through this word today, that, Lord, that you would minister into hearts, so that you would encourage, admonish, bless people, Lord. Lift them up, Father. Bring breakthrough, God. Divide soul from spirit, bone from marrow. Bring about a fruit 40, 60, and 100 fold, Lord. Move deeply in our spirits, God, we pray. Even now, O Lord, move deeply in our spirit, O God. Let your deep speak to our deep. O Father, we bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Wow. I'm going to need a volunteer in a minute by the looks of it. So David Simpson or Eugene or even Brian. Yeah, so, I don't know if you like me. Can I have that slide up, please? Not every morning that you get up are the birds singing around your windows. Three little birds. On my doorstep. Singing sweet songs of melodies pure and good. Amen. And not many mornings either. Well, not every morning. Do I walk out the house and I get out the door on my way to start the day. You've just got to click on that icon, please. The orange icon. Just click on it. There you go. And not every morning you get up either. And you walk out. Thank you for the acknowledgements of that, Mark. It's all right. There's a food chain, isn't it? Is it a food chain or food distribution that's called, what's it called? I don't know. Just Eat. That's it. So I thought I'll change that and Let's Eat. So not every morning do we go out the front door and you've got angels fine-tuning their harps and the sun's shining. And everything's good, zeppity-doo-da, zeppity-day. Amen. We do get days like that, praise the Lord, but not every day is like that. Sometimes you get up and you're mindful, perhaps, of the complications of the day is going to bring at work. And before you get out, if you've not soaked yourself in the love of God, that it really begins to take a toll on you by midday, doesn't it? And so, praise God that we're not alone in that. And praise God for his word, amen. For the Old Testament, I love the Old Testament. I struggle to get past the Old Testament because I love it so much. And when God says, right, I want you to read Romans or Corinthians in the New Testament, I'm like, duh. I like the Old Testament. And so, but there was a man in the Old Testament called David, King David. He's the guy who slayed Goliath. Cut off his head. Amen. And David was having a day where the sun wasn't shining. David was having a day where the birds weren't singing sweet melodies outside the windowsill. And he was having a day where the angels weren't fine-tuning their harps as you walked out the front door. In fact, he was having a stinker of a day. Not just a day, he was having a stinker of a month, a year. And in that moment, when his world fell apart, he'd lost his throne. Well, he hadn't lost his throne completely, but he'd been usurped by his own son. And all the friends who he thought were most closest to him had departed from him, abandoned him. And in that moment of desperation, King David wrote Psalm 23. When he had nothing to celebrate, he wrote Psalm 23. And I was thinking as I read through that psalm, I thought, how ironic. What a paradox that David wrote that psalm in the midst of trouble, and right out of that, God has brought so many comfort over generations and generations from that psalm. Usually this psalm is read at funerals, isn't it? It's not a funeral psalm, but that's what people use because there's so much comfort gained from it. And yet David was writing that right in the midst of a battle, right in the midst of a storm. And sometimes, you know, it would be good if you actually sat down when you're right in the middle of stuff going on and began to just write to the Lord and stir your soul and lift your soul up and begin to pen a praise to the Lord. And it really does you good to actually focus on him and not the issues in life. Amen. And David, he didn't write this psalm in a palace. He wasn't in his king's palace. He'd been betrayed. He was isolated. And now he was even hunted. He was being hunted by Saul and his son. And life was coming at him from all angles. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like you're just going along and everything's brilliant? And he only needs one of you in the kitchen. If you'd like to come back through, it's important that you receive the word of God more than food. Amen. Hallelujah. And so David, it's all right, I just lost my train of thought then. Yeah, that was it. So, thank you, Edwin. That smile brought me back. So David's own son betrayed him. His closest sons had turned, closest friends had gone from him. He'd lost his own. He'd lost power. He was sleeping rough, often in a cave. And you can imagine sleeping in a cave at night and you see shadows going past the entrance to the cave and every one of them could have been an assassin to take his life. And you know, sometimes when your family turns against you or your close friends turn against you, it does make you a little bit paranoid about people because you measure people by experience. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it's important that we fix our eyes upon the Lord, because we will get family turned against us. In fact, Jesus said this, that a sister will turn against mother and mother against sister and father against son and son against father and mother-in-law against son-in-law. That families will turn against each other in these days. And so we can expect that our families, particularly, I remember when I got saved, and I thought, oh, my family are going to be so pleased, you know, that I've stopped all the rubbish and that I've come to saving grace in Jesus. And I remember going to visit my mum, and my brothers and sisters were there. And I said, oh, I've got something to tell you. I've met Jesus. I've been saved. I've given my life to him. Expecting, yeah. And the room just went silent. Now, in our family home, that was a miracle in itself. And the room just went silent. And then there was kind of a giggle and then a laughter. And then my brothers started going, you're mad in the head. We need to lock you up. We need to get you carted off in a white van. Yeah. Oh, they didn't use that word, but it was close. But yeah. So even our families, you know, when we think that they're going to be supportive, actually turn out to be the most persecuting people on earth. And it's not anything unusual. Jesus told us that. He said, if they persecute me, I'm the Son of God. Do you think they're not going to persecute you? And so we must understand that we will face difficulties. Amen. But in that place of difficulty, this is where it gets good. Hallelujah. I love the good stuff in the Bible. That in that place where David was, that David penned this psalm. Through the Holy Spirit, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He was just the scribe. It was God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son who was actually writing through his heart. Amen. And he wrote this. God, in the midst of our troubles, in the midst of our battle, prepares a table. And I was reading this psalm a few weeks ago, and I thought, oh, look, I just stopped there, and I thought, what a peculiar thing to do in the midst of a battle. You don't see them on Saving Private Ryan, do you, that they're running all up the beach, and they go, whoa, lads, whoa, let's just have something to eat. And they all put their weapons down, and they have something to eat. But there's a more intense battle going on in our lives that we don't see. And God says this, I am going to prepare you a table. David said he prepares a table. And that word prepare in the Greek is a word, in the Hebrew is the word arak. And it doesn't mean to like come along and put pleasantries on the table and the condiments. It's actually a strategic word in the Hebrew. And it implies strategic arrangement, like a military commander. Laying out the battle plan, And that shows that this table is intentional and it's God being defiant against your circumstances. It's a military word that they use for preparing you a table. I find that fascinating. Thank you, Lord, for making me excited. Please wake them up today. But I thought to myself, I thought, that's amazing. But and I also thought, well, why a table? Why a table? And I began to meditate and think on this, that when you come to the table, like a Sunday dinner, you know, our kids can eat. I tried to get our kids to eat around a table, always have done since they were little. But if you come to a table, it's not fast food. You're not just running past and picking the food up off the table and running out. You come to a table and you take a seat. And you're intentional about spending time with the Lord and having fellowship with him. It's not a fast food. It's not grab a bite to eat and leg it off. It's a table that the Lord says he has prepared. When you're right in the midst of your battles, God says he prepares a table for you. You just think about that for a moment. Imagine, because God gives us imagination as a gift, it's to be used in a holy way. But you imagine the high King of heaven, the maker of everything, the one who created you and gave you your eyes to see, your taste buds, your ears to hear, setting a table for you in a battlefield. Imagine what that table looks like. Imagine if the Lord came and laid a place out for you, a table, and put a seat at that table. What delights would he put on that table for you to feast on? What refreshments would he put on that? Jugs of his presence that you can just glug on, glug, glug, glug. And you go to put it out in a glass. He says, no, son, no, daughter, I don't want you to drink it out the jug. Go on, soak yourself. And he puts out a feast of pure delights. None of what God gives you is fatigued or out of date. It's pure delights. That's what the Word of God says. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is very, very purposeful in writing this, that he prepares a table in the midst of my enemies. I love that. When it's kicking off all around you in life and everyone's got their arrows for you, and it feels like you're isolated and you don't know which way to turn, or you're feeling a bit confused over something, that God prepares a table right in the midst. When you're looking for breakthrough, when you've been witnessing for years and years and you don't see anything and it starts to wear you down a bit, that God then comes right in that moment and prepares a table right in the midst of that issue. Hallelujah. And in the Old Testament, in the ancient time, see, all these statements that God is making today are really encouraging. Because in the Near Eastern ancient times, there were only certain people who could actually go and eat on the enemy's territory. And that was the ruling king's army. And they could go and know, the ambassadors for the ruling king could go into any land if he'd conquered it. And they would know that they were never going to get touched. So the ambassadors could go out and lay out a table. The enemies could be preparing to fight people, but they would not come near you because they know you belong to the king. And that's why the Lord is speaking about here, that even in what you call the enemy's territory, he has authority over. Amen. And he prepares a table in that. Hallelujah. God isn't just feeding you. When he does that, he's vindicating you. Hallelujah. The next thing is that the table represents threshold. And it will move you from struggle to celebration as you take your seat, from conflict to communion as you begin to sit and rest at the Lord's table. It moves you from a soldier to a guest. Hallelujah. You see, if you watch any of the films or footage about World War II, or even Common Day War, the soldiers don't sit down on the battlefield. They eat those vile things like breakfast in a tin. Sausage and bacon in a tin. Disgusting things. And that guy eats it quick, you know, it's cap up, down, gone. And here's another paradox, but the Lord doesn't do that with us. He calls us to a place of stillness. Stillness in conflict. Hallelujah. And God doesn't give you English breakfast in a tin. He gives you the real good stuff. Hallelujah. And what that does is it frazzles our warrior mentality. It frazzles our Christian mentality. And this world's mentality, because we believe that in conflict, we've got to be soldiers and not guests. So when the Father comes in, he begins to put that identity on us as guests. It messes with our brains a bit. Like, how does that work? Amen. You see, God is so confident on the outcome of the battle that he can afford to prepare you a table. Amen. Amen. Now you're getting it. And the thing is this, that we need that divine confidence. Amen. Because unless we've got that God confidence in us, we won't stop. We will work at it. No, I've got to get this done. I've got to achieve it. Got to keep going, got to keep going. But when you've got that divine confidence, that godly confidence, you begin to war with peace. And peace becomes a weapon. See, the enemy hasn't got any peace because he gave the right up the day he tried to take God's throne. He has no right to peace. So we can torment him, Brian, can't we? Yeah. They call him the tormentor, but we can torment him back. By just being still, drives him up the wall. When he finds a born-again believer who is just still in the presence of God, it drives the enemy insane. He doesn't know what to do because he hasn't got any armor against the peace of God. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And God prepares for us a victor's banquet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Bible times, what they would do is that after they'd won a battle, they would go and set out a load of tables and they'd have a big banquet called the victor's banquet. And that's what David's saying here, you know. I might have my son after me. My son's after me. I might have Saul after me. I might have the army after me. But God is preparing a table for me. Amen. And it's a victor's banquet. And so David could then get his confidence from the Lord, even though what he was looking at with his eyes seemed crazy to believe that he could have the victory. But he knew God was going to bring him through. Amen. Hallelujah. Tables were signs of triumph. It's a celebration of spiritual victory in our day. Hallelujah. The enemy doesn't always remove God doesn't always remove the enemy from the midst. But what he does do is he comes and serves you while the enemy's watching. I remember a guy called Graham Cook. We've been listening to a couple of his things lately, and he said this. He said, you know what I love to do? I love to get on my own with the Lord. I love to worship him till I'm in that high praise. And then I turn to the enemy and say, now you may leave. Amen. What a torment. What a torment. Soldiers are always watching their backs in war. But Isaiah 52:12 says that God is our rear guard. Hallelujah. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of need. You're his guest and he's your host. Isn't that wonderful? That God chooses to be the host. I mean, he's the Lord of hosts, the Bible says. But he makes himself a host to come and serve us. Hallelujah. The table also represents covenant relationship. When you think of in the temple, they used to put the 12 loaves on the altar, representing the 12 tribes on the table at the front. Jesus at the Last Supper, those disciples didn't have a clue what was coming. They would have been confused. Look at the conversation around that table. Jesus was just about to go and do the most remarkable act of love in history. And what does he do? He says, he puts a towel around. It's probably not a plastic one. I'm not sure they had plastic aprons back then. Not sure he had plastic aprons. But he put on an apron. I can't even do that up. I don't think he had a hairnet, but I'll do that for a... Put on his rubber gloves. Edwin, could you tie that up at the back for me? I've only got digit arms. They won't reach round. No. No filming. You're doing the sailor's knot there, Edwin. Is it done? Thank you. Right then. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. So Jesus, they're all sitting at the table. They're in the midst of it. The stuff's hit the fan. It's about to big time. What does Jesus say? Right, let's call down the angels from heaven. No. He said, let's eat. Let's eat. So I'm going to ask Eugene to come up and be a volunteer. And come take a seat at the table, Eugene. You can film this part. Right. There we go. You take a seat, Eugene. In a minute, yeah. It's Gilgal. So Jesus comes up with a towel over his arm. Would you like the melon or the soup to begin with, sir?
I'll have the melon, thank you.
The melon, that's tough because we've only got bread. But he comes up. You just sit there, make yourself comfortable.
Thank you.
Lays a cloth there.
Thank you.
Okay.
Looking a little bit more sinister.
And then just to make sure. This is what Jesus is doing to us, by the way. Preparing a table for us. We just want to put that in there.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Hallelujah. And this is what Jesus does for us. The high king of heaven. The high king of heaven comes with a towel over his arm. Do you remember what Jesus did after he'd done all the work on the cross? On the shore at Galilee, what did he say? Let's eat. Cook them fish. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, sir, but I don't have any salted butter. But I have something much better. It's going to sound a bit weird, but this is my body. Take and eat. It's broken for you. At your will. At your own free will. You take one there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, high king of heaven, comes down with a towel over his arm to serve us. Every one of us. You don't look as daft as I do, but he's got longer hair. His eyes are like fire. His feet are like burnished brass. He's got a writing on his leg that says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Anybody here ever been cussed because of Jesus? You have? That's what Jesus says to you. There you go, son. Let's eat. Anybody here been mocked for believing in Jesus? Yeah. There you go, kids. That's what Jesus says. Let's eat. Let's eat. Been mocked? Been mocked? Let's eat. Gary, you been mocked? Yeah. Let's eat, sunshine. Hallelujah. You ever been mocked, Josephine? No? Kids? No, been mocked. No, no. Ever been mocked, Joe? No. Do you guys tell anyone you're Christian? Have you ever been mocked? Yeah? Let's eat. You've been made fun of? Let's eat. You've been made fun of? No? Janet, you've been laughed at for being a Christian? I'll have a word with Joan on the car park after. There you go, let's eat. Leave that over there. Why does God, when we're going through it, put a piece of bread in our mouths? Yeah. It's also to stop us grumbling. I remember people used to say to me, oh, buy my gobstopper, keep him quiet. Everybody, it's true. Anybody ever told you that you're off your head for believing in Jesus? That you're crazy? Tell you what. I know this might seem crazy, you know, but this is exactly what Jesus does. He says, take your eye off what's going on. Have another piece.
Thank you very much.
You see, religion tells you only to have one piece of bread. But God says to feast on him. That's the old idea, Brian. I'll get more of it then. Hallelujah. Let's eat, kids. I'll come back over there in a bit. Let's eat. Pass that along. Hallelujah. The thing I love about Jesus is he's not this cosmic God who's far off, who is very rarely involved in your life. But he said, I'm right up close. I'm even closer than a brother. Amen. Amen. And what did we read a few weeks ago about Revelation 2, about where Jesus was? What was he doing? He was walking in and out of the church. He's here this morning. He's walking throughout this church. He's looking at us. He's inspecting us. He's cleaning us with his word. Hallelujah. And the great thing is that when you eat the body of Christ, when you eat the bread as a representation to the body of Christ, that you're saying to the enemy that you will never, ever, ever let go of Jesus. Amen. That's why Jesus said, do it in remembrance of me. Bring me to mind. And you might make mistakes. We all do. But you're saying to the enemy, even though I'll make mistakes, even though I'll trip up, you can bet your bottom dollar, I will get up. I'll get up. Hallelujah. I might fall from the mountain that I've climbed up over the years. I might tumble down. But Jesus has put a resilience in me that causes me to get up and even scuff my knees to get back on that mountain. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're saying to him, I might occasionally wander from the path, but Jesus has put his spirit in me, which is the sat-nav of heaven, which brings me back onto the right way. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it's not one way. He prepares a table in full view of your enemies to show them that you are his. Hallelujah. That you're his. And because you're his, you're still standing even though you're sitting. Hallelujah. You're still standing even when you're sitting. And that God is showing you that you're still part of his plan. You might not be where you want to be right now. You might have thought, oh, it's a bit too late. But God is saying to you this morning, you're still part of the plan. Hallelujah. So he comes and he says, let's eat. Let's put something in your mouth to stop your grumbling. Taste the goodness. Take your mind off the badness and taste the goodness. Amen. And then David wrote this after. He said, after you've given me something to eat, he says, you anoint my head with oil. Oh, I love this part. You anoint my head with oil. I didn't want to get all this on my hands. So much of it, so I thought I'd put it on a cloth. You anoint my head with oil. Some people will know in here that when they anointed them in the Old Testament, it wasn't just like a little sprinkling. They come up with a full jug of oil. They just pour it over your head. Drip down your beard, all down your top. Hallelujah. You anoint my head with oil. Hallelujah. And move out the way so everyone can see that. You anoint my head with oil. Oil, in the Old Testament, was for healing, but it's also a sign for calling upon your life. You was marked out for a purpose. David says, you anoint my head with oil. Why? Because he was called out to be a king. And you are called out to be kings and priests for the Lord. You've been called out to be an heir to his throne. And the Lord anoints your head with oil, not so that you smell nice, not so that you look all nice and shiny like Eugene does at the moment. but to show that you've been called out for a purpose. Edwin, you've been called out for a purpose. Dennis, David, Alice, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, well, right then, Joe. Joe, was that a good one? Let's get that. There you go, you've been called out for a purpose. Life might be tough, but you have been called out for a purpose. And God's never, ever, ever going to forget that. Hallelujah. Called out to walk with him, to talk with him, to be his friend. Called out for a purpose, never forget it. Called out. Called out. The Lord says he's set you apart. He's set you apart. You no longer belong to yourself. You belong to him. Hallelujah. Set out. God put a mark over your life. This is so significant. Because David at that time, when he was being attacked by everybody, would have wondered, you know, he was anointed by a prophet when he was a young man to be king over Israel. And suddenly he's in hiding in a cave. Do you think he thought he was called out then? No, but he was. He was. You've been called out. You've been marked for a purpose. Hallelujah. Marked for a purpose. There's a calling on your life, an eternal calling for heaven that will never ever deplete or go away. God has never forgotten what he's put you on this earth for. You young guys, you know, you might be going through stuff. You got to make a lot of decisions. You put Jesus at the front of your life, and I guarantee he will lead you through that maze. He will give you a straight path with a destiny at the end of it. You won't be like a dog chasing its tail. What should I do? I so wished in some ways that when I was 14, that someone had come and told me about Jesus. Wow. And then there's other parts of me glad that it didn't, because I've got the testimony I've got for coming to know him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Every one of us. When God has got a specific purpose, I'm glad you're coming at that moment, Toby. Hallelujah. Come here, brother. Lean over here. That God knows, God's called you for a specific purpose. Never forget it, brother. Marked out. Hallelujah. Marked out for a purpose. And you might be going through a battle right now, and you might have people against you, and your life might not look like everybody else's. It's not supposed to. It's not supposed to. Your life is not supposed to look like other people's. It's never meant to. In this world, you was designed to be a misfit. Because you're not cut out to fit into this world. You're cut out to fit in heaven. And when those doors open and we go in, we're going to be in our place. And then we'll really see who the misfits are. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God says you're not finished with. You're still marked with a purpose. But I doubt, Lord, let's eat. Every time you doubt, I'll lay this challenge down to you. Every time you doubt where your future's leading, sit down and have communion. It really focuses your mind. Not only where you've come from, but where you're going. And then after David said, he anoints my head with oil, he sets a table before me, anoints my head with oil. David said this, and my cup overflows. Hallelujah. You imagine this, that your mind, capacity to understand God, is the size of a thimble. And the vastness of God is like the ocean. And he just keeps pouring out into that thimble, the vastness of the ocean. And that thimble understanding just keeps overflowing, overflowing. You can't contain God in your thoughts. Amen? He said, lean not on your own understanding. His cup overflows. How you doing, son?
Very well.
Let's just tuck that
well.
Back in. There you go. Enjoy yourself, sir. And the Lord comes round and then David says, my cup overflows. And as Jesus poured out the wine, he said, drink this. It represents my body that is being poured over. The overflow of my life is being poured out of my body. Hallelujah. It's glorious to serve the sacraments to the body of Christ. It's an utter privilege. My cup overflows, said David. Hallelujah. Take anyone you want, ma'am. There you go. Yeah. I'll come back over. I'll just start with Janet and Joan, and I'll walk back up this way. The goodness of God in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Do you know angels look down right now and they're watching us drink this? They remember that Christ told us to do it. There you go, young sir. There you go, young madam. Help yourself and enjoy. There you go, a mighty wise one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, yeah. Don't sit down. Need to serve. There you go. So oftentimes we come into church and we take communion. We all come to the table and we glim. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we forget exactly what that means. Sometimes come to the table, and if you're in a state of grief or mourning, that's fine. But it's also a table of delight. It's a table of joy. It's a table of victory, but we get used to seeing in our psyche men in gowns with smelling balls, swinging them around, giving a little piece of bread to each person as they come along, and it's done very religiously. Let me tell you, it wasn't like that in the book of Acts. Go and do some research and see how the men and women of that day used to take bread, according to the early church fathers. Not disrespectfully, but oftentimes nothing like we take it today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When David said, my cup overflows, he didn't mean I've got a big Merc on my drive. I've got a big mansion. What he did say was that he's put joy in my heart. He's put hope in my heart. He's put faith in my heart. He's put belief in my heart. He's put a calling in my heart. He's put great joy in my heart. He's put resilience in my heart. My cup is overflowing to be victorious in this life in the name of Jesus. And there's a great saying that goes about, be the best version of yourself. That's satanic in its very nature. The Bible doesn't call you to be the best version of yourself. It calls you to be the best version of Jesus. Amen? The more you try to be like your very self, the more trouble you're going to gain. And if you're like me, if I try to be myself, I get very depressed. Because I know what me, myself is about. But when I look to Jesus, the light of the world, and allow his spirit to fill me and become like a city on a hill and allow my light to shine out, then, hallelujah, there is no depression in my mind. Hallelujah. Because we feast on his pure delights. You see, oftentimes we'll go through life. If you're like me, if life's going okay, you can sometimes go a few days, you don't give God a... Well, you think about him, but you don't put much effort. But as soon as the stuff hits the fan, oh God. And we use him like an emergency button. It's true, isn't it? Quick, God, I need help here. You haven't thought of me for the last week. I know, but I need help now. Is it true or not? He doesn't want us to be treat him like an emergency button. He wants us to treat him like our host. He's our host. That's what he says. When our kids were little, I used to love what we used to do. We used to have something to eat, and then I used to make these puddings. And I used to buy all this packet stuff and put it on a plate. Like it was, Bake Off Britain or something like that? Great British Bake Off. And I used to put it on a plate. And the kids were only like 4 and 2, and I used to take it in, I used to put it on. They thought I'd made it, and they go, wow! You know, and the delight on their faces. Sorry to embarrass you, Joe. But that's what they used to be like. And the Lord wants us to be that enthusiastic about the stuff that he brings into our life. Wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the goodness. Thank you that I slept under a roof last night. Thank you, Lord, that I'm about to have food in my belly. Thank you that I've actually got clothes on my back. And that I didn't sleep last night in one of the subways in Birmingham city centre. Thank you, Jesus, that I was so messed up on drugs that I never used to come down for weeks on end. And God has cleaned me out so much.
Hallelujah.
That if I even have half a paracetamol now, I'm on a different planet. I can't, like for this illness, I couldn't even take any medication. I had half a paracetamol. Because they knock me about so much. And although I'm feeling ill, I'm rejoicing, go, wow. Wow, I shouldn't even be alive. And you have cleaned me out so much. And I know he's cleaned every person here out as well. How do I know that? Because you're all sinners just like me. The gospel is a great leveler, amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The table is a table of victory. Tetelestai. That's what Jesus said. He laid out his arms on the cross. Tetelestai. Paid in full. Every debt that we owe to God is being paid. Praise you, Lord. And every day he cries out to us, every storm that we go through, every trouble in life, every difficulty, he says this, let's eat. Let's eat. You got trouble in your home? Get a piece of bread out the cupboard. Pour a little water in a glass. Doesn't have to be red. It's only symbolic. And have communion in your home. Even if you've got to do it by yourself, that's fine. Because you're making a declaration in heaven. I will never give up. I will never surrender to the enemy's wills and my sin. I'm going to stick with Jesus. I'm holding him tight because I know he has the way, the truth and the life in him. He is the way, the truth and the life. Hallelujah. And I know that if I venture off the path, I'm going to end up in hell. It's not a fable. It's not a bedtime story. It's an actual matter of fact. Jesus told it plainly. You put your trust in me and go through the narrow way or live your own way and go the wide way that ends up in the pit of hell, in the lake of fire where the worm never dies and the flame never goes out. And to prove that he meant it and to prove that it's hell is real, and that's where unbelievers go, not for sinning, but for rejecting the Son who came. And to prove it, how serious he was, he gave his life to show it. He was serious. Hallelujah. So today, as we come, as we sit down, as we eat, let's just be thankful before God. This is a table that the Lord has prepared you. No, without Jesus, not one of us would be sitting here today. There would be no food in there. This building wouldn't be here. What would you do on Sunday mornings? What would you moan about?
When I'm younger, oh God, get to church again.
What would you be doing? If Jesus hadn't died, what would you be doing right now? Eugene wouldn't be sitting there. I bet that part is quite thankful. But do you get what I mean? Without Jesus, not one of us would be in this room. I reckon probably a third of us may have died, succumbed to the ways of the world. We'd have no hope. We'd still be lost. We've lost loved ones. We know they've gone on. Without Jesus, how hopeless is that? So let us praise the Lord today. That Father, I thank you for your word. As we come to drink this wine, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your bread, for your body, for your blood, for your wine, for your meal, for your table. That is a joyous place. It's a place of rest. It's a table of healing. It's a table of peace. Hallelujah. The Lord, we're so grateful for all that you have done today. We pray, O God, that your word would sink into our lives like that bread has just sank into our stomachs. Make us new from the inside out, Lord. Give us a new heart, new desires to follow you ever more closely, to have our lamps full of oil in these days, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Drink together. Hallelujah.